Let's put our hands together and let's welcome Pastor Sam.
Give God all the honor and adoration. Come on. Give a shout of praise if you can. Behind the mask, give him all the glory. Hallelujah. Thank God for today. It's the day that he has made for us that we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's another opportunity for God to bless us. Amen. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all members of this church who are working behind the scenes and on scene and all that. And I want to say that you are doing extremely good job. I want to get it out of the way. It's been on my heart since yesterday just to tell you that you are blessed and highly favored. All those of you who are working this house, all servants of God, handmaidens of God, those who are working assiduously in this house, every position that you are doing, every work that you are doing, we want to appreciate you. Let's put our hands together and give God praise for all of them. You need to be reminded that you are not before man, you are before God. Amen. And in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And so your clappings, your hallelujahs, and your amens should be full of the joy of the Lord, the glory of God. Amen. Let's put our hands together again and celebrate the Lord. Amen. Thank you very much. I want us to delve into the word of God today. How many of you know that God is good? And all the time, he is good. Amen. And before we get into the word of God, I want to remind you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God or the woman of God will be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And I always take this opportunity to say that it's just so, I'm so thankful that he gives me the opportunity to come before his presence, come before his word. The word of God is thrown as a table in front of me every day. And I hope you will also believe and think the same thing. Because you are getting that which will bless your life, that which will change your life, that which will deliver you from everything that you are going through and bring you to a successful end. It's the word of God. We've been dealing with this subject for the past 3 weeks, and I would like to bring a finality to it today. It is entitled, Never Give Up. Never give up. It's important that you realize that whatever, and it's been established, that whatever we do in this life is like a seed we are sowing. Any action in life is driving towards a direction. Whether it's positive, whether it's negative, is driving you towards a direction. And so your attitude, whatever you are doing, you are giving, you are sowing. Anything that you do, whether it's positive or negative, is driving to a direction. And so every action is a seed. And a seed, when you plant a seed, you reap. The Bible says we should not deceive ourselves, because everything that we do, every seed that we sow, we shall reap. And we've gone through that. Last week that we spoke about two aspects of giving, two aspects of actions. There is positive, pragmatic, proactive actions that you do. That everything that you do, you are sowing seed. Every action you do, you get blessed. Whatever. And so your offerings that you are giving, your tithings, your tithes that you give will be blessed. They are seeds you sow. People are sowing into the kingdom of God and this church. And I give God praise for that. And God bless them. Every seed that you sow, every little that you have that you give, the more the bigger ones that you have that you give, is a seed you are sowing. You are sowing into God's kingdom. You are sowing into fertile grounds. Don't think about you're sowing, giving to a church or giving to somebody else. Just say that you are giving it to God. And you give it to God. You cannot outgive God. Nobody can outgive God. He's the blesser of every soul, blesser of every seed that you sow. And so, whatever you sow, you reap. Thank God for your blessings. Thank God for your support for God's kingdom. And then we started looking at the reaction So there's an action and reaction. The reaction will be the oppositions that you are facing in this life. The challenges that are giving you opportunities to give up. The first one is when you are proactive and giving, you may give up at a point where maybe you are not seeing results quickly. Like you want to lose weight and you go to the gym and maybe the first month you've been told that when you do this, you maybe lose maybe 10 pounds. And then you go in there. The first month, you may not see anything. If you're not careful, you give up. But if you continue doing it, realize that second month, third month, you see something coming out. I just use an example, please. Okay? And so therefore, you can give up. But there's also in life that we are facing challenges. This life is a war. And so as you are walking, as you are dealing with this life, you face oppositions. You face challenges. You must fight for your family. You must fight for your children. You must fight for your job. You must fight for your investment. You must fight for everything. Everything in this life. Because we are not of this world, but we are in this world. We are not of this world, but we are in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we are in this earth. So you are in a place that is hostile to your citizenship. And because of that, you face opposition all the time. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You cannot actually win this life here on earth here by using carnal weapons. Like somebody is against you, you also have to be against them. Somebody is front against you, you're front. No! When somebody is fighting against you, give them a smile. Hallelujah. Somebody is fighting against you, give them love. These are weapons that are here on earth. So you realize that you, in your walk with God, you are facing challenges. And life is war. Life is a fight. You have to fight for your encouragement. You have to fight for your depression. You have to fight for challenges. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your relationships. There's a fight out there to destroy that. So therefore, your life must be intact. Your life must be at a point that you tell yourself, I'm not going to give up. And so we started looking at an example here. 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, just continuing from there, we looked at the life of David. And we'll be looking at some lessons there later on. David never gave up. Well, he was faced with challenges, but he never gave up. Let's read. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 6. And again, I'm reading from a translation, the NIV translation of the Bible. If you have it, just say amen. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinom of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength. That is where I would like you to note. David found strength in the Lord his God. We always talk about, and David encouraged himself. He did something. You know, this is not the first time David had faced challenges. Now, this time he's lost everything. He's lost family. He's lost career. He's lost city. He's lost dignity. And he's probably asking himself, why am I going through all this? God says he's called me to be the king of Israel. Why am I going through all this? And I want to say to you, no matter what God has promised you, you may have a calling, you may have something that God has told you, giving up word. That does not mean that you will not face challenges. Before, Saul attacked David every day. And there was an example there. You know, David was serving Saul, all right? He would go and play the harp so that the spirit that was plaguing Saul would disappear. This guy was doing very well. Saul attacked him, wanted to destroy him. But look at somebody who actually encouraged him. That is Saul's own son. And in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 15 and 17, let us see how Jonathan encouraged David. He says, and one time David was at Harish in Ziph desert. He was afraid because Saul had come to the area to kill him. But Jonathan went to see David, and God helped him, encouraged David. Don't be afraid. This is what he said. Don't be afraid. This is what Jonathan, how Jonathan encouraged David. Don't be afraid. Jonathan said, my father Saul will never get his hand on you. In fact, you are going to be the next king of Israel. Now he was reminding David of the prophecy that he had received. He was reminding David of what God has said to him about him. That look, no matter what, if God has said it, no matter what my father would do to you, he will not be able to kill you. He used the word that God has given to David to encourage him. Don't be afraid. This is what God has said about you. Don't be afraid. Here's what God has said about you in his word. Don't be afraid. He used the word of God to encourage David. You know, I say, nothing happened to you. Oh, it is well. Oh, it will be fine. It will be fine. Yeah, it will be fine. But based on what? It must be based on truth. It must be based on the word of God. So encouragement can be good. Some people can see that, but it's based on what? It's very important, but based on truth. He said, you are going to be the next king of Israel, and I'll be your highest official. Even my father knows it's true. So the person who was attacking David, Jonathan is reminding David of what his father knows or knew. He said, look, my father will never be able to kill you because he knows that you are going to be the king of Israel. And so when David encouraged himself, the first thing that he do that he strengthened himself. So for you to encourage yourself in the Lord when you are faced with the opportunity to give up is that you encourage yourself in the Lord. You strengthen yourself in the Lord. You know what? The word strengthening here is a very positive word. It's not passive. There must be an action. It must be an intentional action. An intentional act. It will not come anyhow. You have to decide that you do something about it. It does not just happen. You must do something about it. The Hebrew word here implies persistent and continuous effort. Encourage yourself is a persistent and continuous effort. That means when you're encouraging yourself, not just one word, not just one scripture, you every day encourage yourself continuously. You wake up in the morning, you encourage yourself continuously. It's a persistent, continuous effort. It's not passive at all. If you're going to stay in despair and just always remind yourself of the pain and not continuously, persistently encourage yourself, you may remain the same. And this is what David said to himself. In Psalm 43, verse 5, he looked at himself. I guess he looked at himself like you have to look at yourself sometimes. Okay, and then maybe smack yourself when you are going through a challenge. There's an opportunity for you to give up. You say you slap yourself and you say something to yourself. You need to have a self-talk about yourself in the word. This is what David did. David said, why are you cast down? He looked at his soul. Why? He was speaking to himself. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? My God, hallelujah. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you sad, oh my soul? Why do you want to give up, oh my soul? Wake up, there is hope for you. Wake up, there is hope. Say, there's hope for me. This is how, the first step, this is how he encouraged himself. Wake up, there's hope for you. So you have to know whom you have believed. You have to know who you are. You have to know what he has given to you. You have to know where you are going. You have to know all this. It is not easy, but you have to do it. I say it is not easy, but you have to do it. It is not easy, but you have to. You cannot kill yourself. You have to move on in life. And therefore, no matter how painful it is, I came here to encourage you. You have to do something about it. Gradually, the healings will come. Make a progressive, persistent, continuous effort. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Say, hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. This life is fight, it's war. You have to fight for your marriage. You have to say to your marriage, this marriage is not going to go over. You have to fight for your family. You have to look at your family and say, this family is not going to be destroyed. You have to fight for your business. You don't have to sit down and say that this business is going down. You have to fight for it. You have to change your language about it. You have to fight for your children. You have to fight for your children. You have to fight for your job. You have to fight even here in this country. You have to fight. I came to this country, I'll tell you something. You know, I was nobody. Came from a little village in Ghana. Originally came down here, you know, with nobody. The person that I knew was my mother's friend's friend. Not my mother's friend, though. My mother's friend's friend. In fact, I realized that there was a third, fourth. My mother's friend's friend's friend. Some of you came here with your parents already here. Some of you came here and, you know, all that. And then you are giving up. You are in Christ Jesus above all. When I came to know Christ Jesus, my life changed. I'm telling you, my life has changed by the glory of God. All because I persistently, continuously delve myself. When I give my life to Christ Jesus, I was not joking. I was not. Nobody should give up. Nobody, if you are hearing me, young ones, never give up. A little bit of a challenge, you give up. Maybe you are doing paper and one of them didn't go well and all that, and you are giving up. You are looking for a job and then the job, you are giving up. Hey, Mike, let me tell you something, never give up. Even the marriage, if the marriage didn't go well, don't give up. As long as you have hope in Christ Jesus, look at yourself and say, it is not over until it is over. And let me tell you what David did. David did not just say, he spoke to himself. He had a self-talk. I do that all the time. I look at myself in the mirror. I say, Samuel, you are so good. Sometimes you feel down. I just wake up, Samuel, God, the work that God has given to you will prosper. When I look like I'm getting this scared, I say, some people may not like you, but you have people who like you more than those who don't like you. Look at yourself in the mirror and encourage yourself. That's how David did the first thing. He looked at, and look at, he went into the scripture. He wrote a lot of Psalms, and I like that. And I want to refer that to you. That's how David encouraged himself. In Psalm 46, verse 1, he says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. When you encourage yourself, you encourage yourself in the word of God. He says, God is my refuge and my strength and ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 27, verse 1 and 2. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. In fact, he said, yeah. Put your hands together and God praise. Some scriptures there. You encourage yourself in the word. Psalm 18, verse 16. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. In other places, he says, he dug me from the miry clay and set me on the rock to stay. Romans 8, 37 and 39. There are a lot of scriptures in Psalms that tell you how he encouraged himself. Read Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That is why it is important that you know the word of God. Because when it comes to time that you have to encourage yourself, you must encourage yourself in the Lord. That you not put your this thing in social media. Sometimes, you know what? We get so engrossed in social media. Listen, the one they posted to you after you prayed to God, it will still be there. And sometimes, 9 out of 10, they are very nonsensical. They are not related to your situation at all. Why do you waste your time on them? Hey, put your hands together if you may not. You spend a lot of time on videos. TikTok. Maybe you want something to get out of your depression. So you laugh. That's good. Don't stay there for long. You're posting them things to be conspiracies. Some things that you cannot do anything about. The review spend. So what he did, and now quickly, because there are a lot of scriptures I want to give to you. You know, Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Put your hands together and God praise. Paul says this. Neither anything can separate us from the love of God. Never give up. Say never give up. You have everything in the word of God here for help, for it to help you, for them to help you, and so that you will never give up. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:17. It says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Look at yourself in the mirror. Look at yourself and encourage yourself every day in the word of God. Hallelujah. That's what will make you. You know what we sing this song? This is how we overcome. It's not just jumping and dancing only. You know this song? This is how we over. And so that we dance like that. Great. But I tell you something, you have to move forward into not just dancing about it, but giving, putting just in the word of God. I know the thoughts that he thinks of me. They are thoughts of peace, not evil, to give me an expected end. You need that. Hallelujah. Lot of scriptures in there. They'll put them on there for you. I want to move on quickly. So it's important that dear David encouraged himself. Let me give you three lessons that we need to have when we are encouraging ourselves and not give up. Three lessons. Three lessons. And it's important that we learn this lesson. It's all about the story that we just read here. The Bible says, in the word of God, there is power. So let's look at these three lessons. They are principles. Number one, this is how David now from verse 7 to 10 did something. And he said, and he said to the priest, that's 1 Samuel chapter 30 verses number 7 to 10. This is how David did. After, I guess, he encouraged himself in the Lord, in the word, he did something. And he said to the priest, Abiathar, let's ask God what to do. Abiathar brought everything he needed to get answers from God. And he went over to David. Then David asked the Lord, should I go after the people who raided our town? Can I catch up with them? Go after them. The Lord answered, you will catch up with them and you will rescue your families. David led his 600 men to Besor God. But 200 of them were too tired to go across. So they stayed behind while David and the other 400 men crossed the Jordan. What did he do? He did not contact anybody anywhere. He didn't go to any... Yes, you can go to somebody else for counseling and all that. He didn't run from pillar to post, from one prophet to the other, from one church to the other. What did he do? He says, look, let's go to God. Let's consult God. Let's consult. Not even any man of God. First, let's go to God. Let's spend time with God. Let's ask God what to do. When you are faced with a challenge that you want to give up, the only one that you have to run first for is God. Prayer. Prayer. Before you run to me or run to any man of God that you respect, go to God. When you go to God, I can assure you God will speak to you. And you don't need to come to the pastor, to come to the go to the prophet, or go to any person anywhere. Yes, if you really want to hear, I said some of you have thrown yourself already to prophets. You believe in your prophets more than God. Because I know what you do to them and for them instead of God. You're quiet, and that's true. And I'm not saying that you should not believe in the man of God. I am one. I mean, I'll be glad that you trust me a little bit. But your whole trust must be in God. If God does it, I'm free. I'm working for him. I am his workman. I'm not him. Are you listening to me carefully? So if he's a manufacturer, for me, I am just a dealer. Am I a dealer? I have a mechanic somewhere that you bring in and you understand what I'm saying? The person who made, here is Rolls Royce. So you see, when you, if I do that, bring every car in. Listen, the manufacturers of these cars, they know better than the dealers and the repairers that do anything. So if I'm just a repairer and something breaks down in your car, who do you want to first go to? You have to go to the manufacturer. Then the manufacturer will help you. If you come to the repairer first and you believe in the repairer more than the manufacturer, some of you don't even read the manual. You don't. When a car is given to you, and I've not read all my manual. I took my car for a wash. The guy said to me, do you know, he started pressing certain things and my car now turned to disco. I mean, disco is many years ago, those of you, club this time. What? Some light. Some light where they were flashing the blue light, some purple light. I said, so this guy has got all this. I don't even know, fully have not used how to use the media system on it. But the manufacturers do. You understand? More than that. And I want to encourage you, let's go to God. He said, let us consult God. Bring everything that you need. The coming and all that instrument they used to, those days. And that's what people are going now in the Old Testament. They're living in the Old Testament. In the New Testament time, you go to God, the Holy Spirit. Not people throwing fleeces and all that. And that consultation, that's what people have been using. Go and consult. Consult the occult. Consult the oracles. And some of you have brought that to church. And when the pastors do the same thing for you, still living the Old Testament time. I came to encourage you today. He says he made access. We live in a new dispensation. We live in a new order. We live in the world here right now. Time now that you have access to God. Prayer. Miracle working prayer. God will answer you. Just open your ears, spiritual ears. He will speak to you. If God does not speak to you, there's no hope for you. But if God tells you and gives you the way, there is hope for you. And so the truth about it is, first of all, you have to understand, you have to acknowledge this, that there is a truth about this. That you should always, a resource, always you have to use this resource. When you are about to give up, when you are about to throw in the towel, when you are about to think of committing suicide, when the marriage is weighing you down and you say you can't take it anymore, just go to God. It's a resource that you have to use. When you are down, God will bring you up. Say amen, somebody. He will do it. It may take some time. The second truth about it, a lesson, is that God will always bring a way or a person for you. There's always, listen to me carefully, most of the time there's a destiny connector. As I stand in front of you right now, I can be a destiny connector to you because I'm feeding you with the word of God. So maybe in ministry and all that, as you are here, you're getting developed by the teaching, by the ministry here, I'm a destiny connector to you. I can be an answer to a prayer. And God can use me, God can use somebody. Recognize that. God can use somebody to be a blessing to you. And when you want to give up, maybe this word is going to encourage somebody whose marriage is on the rocks right now. And so right now, maybe you came to church today and you prayed and God said, come to church. The pastor is going to preach a message that will help your marriage. Maybe what I'm saying to you right now, maybe it's going to change your marriage forever. God will always bring a way to you. So let's read what happened to David here when after they prayed. So it says from verse number 11 to 19, some of men, of David's men, found an Egyptian out in a field and took him to David. They gave the Egyptian some bread and he ate it. Then they gave him a drink of water, some dry figs, and two handfuls of raisins. This was the first time in 3 days he has tasted food or water. Now he felt much better. Who is your master? David asked. And where do you come from? I'm from Egypt. Listen to me. The person from the enemy's camp. In fact, he was part of the team that raided Ziklag. I'm the servant of an Amalekite, but he left me here 3 days ago because I was sick. You know how people like abandon people? We had attacked some towns in the desert where the Cherethites live, in the area that belongs to Judah, and the desert where the Caleb clan lives. And we burned down Ziklag. Will you take me to those Amalekites? David asked. A destiny helper. Say, a destiny helper. Say, God will bring me a destiny helper. In times of difficulties that I want to give up, there will be a destiny helper for you. There will be a destiny helper for you. Here. Let's look at this destiny helper. An Amalekite, somebody who was just a servant of one of them, who had been abandoned, was found when he prayed. He says, yes, I will. If you promise with God as a witness that you won't kill me or hand me over to my master, he led David to the Amalekites. They were eating and drinking everywhere, celebrating because of what they had taken from Philistia and Judah. David attacked just before sunrise the next day and fought until sunset. 400 Amalekites rode away on camels, but they were the only ones who escaped. David rescued his two wives and everyone else. The Amalekites are taken from Ziklag. No one was missing. Listen, no one was missing. Young or old, sons or daughters. David brought back everything that had been stolen. Put your hands together and God praise for this. This is what happens to you when you are in difficulty that you want to give up, when there are the whole world or life opposes you. Something comes your way and you consult God. You include yourself and consult God, your God. God will bring in destiny helpers that will help you to overcome that situation. And destiny helper may be somebody that you think is your enemy. Your destiny helper may be somebody that you think is an enemy. Your destiny helper may be somebody who is rebuking you all the time. Your destiny helper may be somebody who is correcting you all the time. Your destiny helper may be somebody that you think is from the enemy's camp. But maybe these are ones that will help you. This one was not amongst them. This one was against them. They were fighting. They were the ones that raided the camp. I want you to open your eyes, oh, your spiritual eyes. They are around you. You have destiny help. Destiny helpers, destiny hands around you all the time to take you to the next level. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. As you walk in this life, remember, people are the most appreciable asset. I will say people are. The most appreciable asset is people. It's good English. People are the most appreciable asset. They don't depreciate except the negative ones. But you know what? David, people who are around him were negative. And that's what you don't need in your life. People can be around you and be negative and they'll be want to kill you, but you don't realize that. You always have to connect yourself. Look for the destiny helpers. There are some people you have to delete their numbers from your phone. You're quiet. You know, anytime you call them, there's trouble. Anytime you call them, you leave the phone discouraged. Anytime you talk to them, there's a fight. They will always bring an issue that will bring confusion. Issues of confusion. You don't need them. But sometimes, some of them don't see them as confused. Sometimes, look. Because when this man came from the side of that, I was wondering, was it because he needed help? Was it because he was abandoned? Sometimes when people are not treated very well on the side, they switch to the other side for help. Treat well people who are around you and deal with the negatives around, because there were people who wanted to kill David. In fact, they did not see any way out of this. And sometimes that's what happens. People may not see a way out of your situation or a situation that is happening. They will give up because they are not well-versed in the Word of God. So you need to hang around with people who are well-versed in the Word of God. That will take you to the next level. Are you here with me? Sometimes they think they are helping. They are not that much. They can be just physical help and all that, not spiritual help. There's a help that is permanent. Or will last long, and there are some that are temporary. So you missed a good way to put your hands together, and I'm helping you. And so here, we move on quickly to a third lesson. It's a principle that you have to operate in your life. Whenever you are blessed, whenever you overcome a situation where you are not giving up, Whenever you are healed from a situation, you are blessed to be a blessing to other people. You will always become a channel of blessings. You have to. And here we see from verse number 20-25, included, and I read from the contemporary English version of the Bible. That's what I've been doing with this particular chapter. Including their livestock, David also took the sheep and cattle that the Amalekites had with them. But he kept these separate from the others. Everyone agreed that these would be David's reward. On the way back, David went to the 200 men he had left at Bethel Gorge because they had been too tired to keep up with him. They came toward David and the people who were with him, David. When David was close enough, he greeted the 200 men and asked how they were doing. Some of David's men were good for nothings, and they said, those men didn't go with us to the battle, so they don't get any of, they don't deserve, they don't get, he said, they don't get any of the things we took back from the Amalekites. Let them take their wives and children and go. But David said, my friends, don't be so greedy with what the Lord has given us. The Lord protected us and gave us victory over the people who attacked. Who would pay attention to you anyway? Soldiers who stay behind to guard the camp get as much as those who go into battle. Hallelujah. David made this a law for Israel, and it has been the same ever since. Those who go to war get as much as those who kept the city. You see, some men around David were just, oh, these people didn't go. Yeah, no, no, they're weak and all that. Oh, they don't deserve anything. David said, no. A generous heart. David was so generous. It doesn't matter whether they went us with us to war. They deserve to be blessed. And so give them that which we've been blessed with. So distribution was to everybody equally. Didn't matter what. That's a generous heart. God always, when he blesses you to overcome a situation in your life, and he blesses you, you have to be a blessing to other people. That is why this year, like that God has blessed us, God is going to bless you so that you become a blessing to other people. You missed the place that we put us together. And so this lesson from David must be something that we should learn all the time, that you never give up because you have God. You never give up because you have the word of God. You never give up because your God is your battle. His word is your battle axe. He will sustain you in whatever you're going through. Any battle in your life, no matter, if you don't give up, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. I say, don't give up. 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 Don't throw in the towel. It is not over until it's over. Keep into the word. You say, Pastor, you think it's easy? Yes, it's not. There's nothing that is too hard for God. I may not have gone through before, but we know how to get out of it. May God bless you and keep you. Hallelujah. Father, I give you all the honor and praise today for your people today. I pray, my God, that your word will do us good. That we will know this, that your word is so powerful. The word has come to us, O God, increase on every side. Let's grow in you. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Say amen. Put your hands together. Hallelujah.